Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Going to face Christian Walker here. And Walker sends one high and deep to left center field. All the way back and gone. Number 21 on the year breaks the tie in the bottom of the eighth. Christian Walker, his second home run of the day.
Shooter.
That is a called third strike. Ball game over. Astros take 2 out of 3 from Colorado. And their lead in the AL West improves to 2 games as we head towards Labor Day weekend.
You know, he's got good stuff. He's got a good heater. He ended up backfooting me on a slider that last at bat. But, I just told myself to be ready for a fastball early, maybe get him up off the bottom to not to chase that slider below. But, you know, a lot of these relievers, it's a lot about just trusting yourself, trusting what you see, and letting it fly. So, you know, I think I'm a better hitter the less I think in the box. So just trying to embrace that a little bit.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.
About, I'm sorry, I didn't get to.
Okay, I want to in the audio bumping into the show. Welcome in everybody on a Friday, a football Friday for sure, with some baseball sprinkled in as well, as you can tell. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Congrats to the Astros on the win yesterday. I wanted to make sure that we got at least a little bit of Jerry Jones in the open, because we're going to attack the Micah Parsons trade in the next segment. We've got a little more room. I think it's worthy of a little more time and space than what we have in the open here, so we'll hit the Astros off the top. Let a few more people get into their cars so they can listen to the reaction here to the huge trade yesterday. Micah Parsons going to Green Bay. And, man, the press conference, Jerry Jones, 11 straight minutes of talking. 11 straight. They asked one question.
That's exactly what you want.
He was off to the races yesterday.
Honestly, everything, his chosen strategy of just preferring to create commotion over getting business done and just holding on to the last moment. It's the worst possible thing for the Cowboys as a franchise. It's the best possible thing for anybody that creates or doesn't even create content. Just rolls it out and lets it go. He's so good at creating attention and a stir while simultaneously destroying his team.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Thanks, Jerry.
He doesn't think he's destroying his team. He thinks this is the right move to win now, he said.
Well, as he and some other Cowboys fans will tell you, in their constant need to go back 30 years in time, they'll remind you of the Herschel Walker trade.
Correct.
They'll say,
that was a good trade.
Like, using the early 90s as justification for any and everything is exactly why you guys have been so perennially disappointed.
Correct. Yes. So we'll dig into that in the next segment for sure. That was huge news yesterday. That was the big talk, Seth. I was at the Texans season premiere last night.
Yeah.
The kickoff for the season, where you get a player sitting at each table and
rubbing elbows with the rich and famous.
We had Titus at our table last night.
Right.
Yeah. And Titus Howard at our table, which was great.
Did he eat with his hands?
He was, dude, I will tell you.
I want all these guys to be like cavemen on the offensive line.
He did not. He was with his wife. So if he was with the other offensive lineman, maybe, like when in Rome. But he was, his wife was there. She was very, very nice. Chelsea. Their fourth kid is due during the football season this year. Titus is about to have 4 kids under the age of 4 in his house. He's already got 3.
Only you could afford some help, like a nanny or something.
Titus, I think he's doing fine. Titus drinking water the whole time. You know, we've talked about Titus.
See, I want my offensive linemen slugging back domestic beer.
No,
eating
not
ribs
during
with
the,
their hands he, and slugging back domestic beer, Sean.
We talked about how Titus looked better conditioned this year, and at least at the Texans gala last night, or the
That's
Texans season premiere, he was walking the walk, man.
That's true. Sometimes my dream of the perfect offensive line is you go back to like the 80s. When it was just these guys that were just scrappy cavemen that would, they were beer drinkers and everything. But you also have to remember that they were shoveling handfuls of Diana ball into their mouth at the same time.
Yeah,
so it's if this day and age, you gotta be a little bit more dialed in. That's true. Good point.
It's different. Now, you know who was drinking quite a bit at the table? Me.
Yeah.
I was. Yeah. I was making up for Titus's lack of alcohol consumption. I did ask him, I'm like, hey, when something like this Micah trade goes down, what's the offensive lineman group text like? And he's like, dude, it was – and he said himself, like, they were all like, man, this is crazy. Like, Micah Parsons getting traded. good to see him stay in the NFC. That's me saying that.
That was
not
my
Titus
thought
Allen.
Too. Yeah, it's like, all right, cool. As long as and now in Titus, or excuse me, Micah. There's a little bit of the same dynamic with how it was with here with J.J. Watt. Mm-hmm. When man, you can be one of the very best defensive players in the league, but unlike a quarterback. Like usually the really best quarterbacks, at worst, they'll be average in a yeah. year. Every now and then there's a dip, but usually they're at least an average offense.
Yeah.
Where with Micah last year, they were horrendous defense. So there yeah. is there's a part where I want to partially stick up for Jerry and say, well, yeah, well, if we trusted you to actually operate the team properly after this, there's something to be said for, man, you need more than one stud defensive player to have a good defense.
They overall, but historically, since Mike has been there, though, there's been a drastic difference between them with him on the field and him
right.
off the field. You know?
Right, but the last year, over the course of 4 years, yes, they're an yeah. awful defense without him, and they're a much better defense with him.
Yeah.
But last year, they were one of the worst defenses in the league,
yeah.
just regardless.
Yeah.
So it's... There's, you know, it's not like one defensive player is a straw that stirs the drink.
Oh,
they would have been even worse without him, don't
yeah,
get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we'll play some audio from Jerry and show you what he thinks about the trade yesterday. We'll do that in the next segment. Astros win yesterday. Jason Alexander didn't get the win in this one. He was all right. It's the Rockies, so that they're duking it out here in the eighth inning, and you need a Christian Walker home run to get out of there with a series win over the Rockies. It's whatever to me. I don't care how they're doing it at this point. I'm just glad they're still ahead of the Seattle Mariners, who were idle yesterday, so they picked up a half game. So the Astros came into this series with a two-game lead, and they leave the series with a two-game lead.
Yeah, all right.
So they didn't pick up any ground.
I know every single time you talk about this series, people understandably and justifiably point out that, yeah, hey, by the way, guys, it's the Rockies. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
For one. Two, the fact that you saw the difference with Yordan in there and how much he affects everybody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, Yordan barely got pitched to, and you saw, okay, versus better teams, how that's going to be good. But then last night, I was just happy to see, okay, good, scrappy defensive plays, and meanwhile, the Rockies are an inferior team. Let's see them be idiots in the field and yeah. overthrow bases and whatnot. Meanwhile, Cesar Salazar is jumping out there. Like, talk about throwbacks to the 80s. Man, a beautiful RBI bunt.
Yeah, a little bunt.
Made Cam Smith with a throw to home and a
yep.
tag at home that was
yep.
gorgeous. Cesar Salazar had that other throw to third. Like, there was some good, scrappy play out there.
Were you as confused as I was when Chaz McCormick, it got called that he was hit by a pitch?
Yeah.
And then, there's runners on base already. I'm like, okay, Chaz, take your base. And they challenged it, and it got overturned so that Chaz could stay at home plate and hit. And it ended up working because he got a little blooper to right field.
Yeah.
I was so confused. I'm like, no, Chaz is not a hitter. If it was Yordan, I would challenge it because I want Yordan to swing the bat. I don't need Yordan getting, you know, first base conceded to him with guys on base. I want Yordan to swing and maybe hit a bomb.
Right.
I'm going, why are we... What are we doing here?
Well, I think the big guy. Yeah, I guess the you start calculating the chances of then you've got an
yeah. You start calculating the chances of Chaz getting on base.
Well, I know. I don't know. I'll just trust the nerds on that. I can't fight the nerds all the time, Sean.
Yeah.
I just know that by and large they're usually probably correct.
Yeah.
So yeah, go for it.
Okay. All right.
I gotta sacrifice bunt in this game.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, yeah. My old school small ball need is, I don't know.
Yeah. I was just very confused. I'm like, okay, we're treating Chaz like he's Yordan. Cool.
Hey, the Rockies announcer, I have to give him credit because I was watching the highlights this morning. And that we've all grown tired of the Jason Alexander puns, the Seinfeld puns and whatnot.
Yeah.
He did call it the summer of Jason. And
seen that joke already?
Have you seen that already?
Yes,
I haven't caught it already.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. No, I've
okay,
seen people
right,
make.
I haven't seen
people make that joke.
I take
already.
Back my grudging acknowledgement of it, except that it was an opposing announcer. So if
okay.
it's an opposing announcer who's just not doing the basic,
yeah.
it's kind of like when somebody makes a joke about the being a better than everybody else scandal. There's like six jokes that people tell over
yeah.
and over again. That if somebody comes up with something creative, I tip my cap to them.
Right. No, I live on social media more than you do, so I've seen
I've
seen every single Costanza joke. There's not a single one out there I'm going to give anybody credit for. So Christian Walker's the other story in this game. Two bombs. Feels like that's starting to work out the way the Astros drew it up on the chalkboard, Seth, with Christian Walker. Last 37 games, I think you put this stat in the rundown. Walker has an 860 OPS. That's best among Astros hitters with at least 10 at-bats. So there's
since the All-Star break.
Since the All-Star break, yeah. With at least, I'm wondering, there's somebody with like four at-bats who went like 3 for 4 probably. But he's got 9 home runs. So that feels good. Of everything that's gone wrong for the Astros this year, Christian Walker was one of them for the longest, and at least you got that. I thought it was cool just the other night when Yordan hit the home run, seeing Yordan and Carlos Correa dap each other up at home plate. I'm like, oh, this is the first time we've like seen these two together, you know? I'm like, oh, that's right. They're on the same team now again. This is cool. So, because they did not play a lot of baseball together. The year that Yordan came up and won Rookie of the Year was the year that Carlos missed a ton of time with his massage therapist broken rib. Then Yordan missed all but 8 at-bats of the COVID season, and then they played together in 2021. Like, the Carlos Correa and Yordan Alvarez have not played in the same lineup a ton in their careers, really only one full season.
I don't know, Sean. I don't know. I still 100% don't quite understand what the Mandela effect is, but I feel like I've got memories of Carlos Correa and Yordan Alvarez doing all kinds of things together, and you're lying to me now. I think you're trying to they're wearing Fruit of the Loom logos the entire time.
Okay. It's
that's what I'm going to do this afternoon. I'm going to sit down and actually try to understand what the Mandela effect is.
I've never heard of it before. So,
you've never heard of it?
No. Are you surprised?
You're on social media so much more than me. I've never seen that.
No.
It's basically when there's like something in the everybody. This is how everybody's going to correct me. When something's in the people's collective consciousness that everybody just feels like, oh yeah, that's the way it was, but it turns out it actually wasn't.
Okay.
And I think the Fruit of the Loom logo is one. There's one that I think everybody thinks that there was a cornucopia on the Fruit of the Loom logo, but there actually wasn't, or something along that line.
What is this named after? The Mandela effect.
I would guess Nelson Mandela.
I don't know.
So there must have been something about Nelson Mandela collectively believe.
I was expecting something about Nelson Mandela in your answer. Yeah.
I only vaguely know from just kind of seeing stuff and not really understanding it what it is. Yeah.
Okay. Texters, let us know.
No. Okay. Yeah. Great. They already are.
Yeah. 713-572-4610. There's your number. All right, off and running on a Friday. Astros win yesterday. That's good news. All right, this Micah Parsons trade. There are a ton of angles to this thing. We're going to talk at 8:20 to one of our colleagues up on 105.3 The Fan at 8:20 today. Zach Walchuk is one of their afternoon hosts on 105.3 The Fan. We'll get the Dallas. I'm interested to get the Dallas view on this trade because I saw a lot of Dallas people kind of treating it like the Laremy Tunsil trade. There was a lot of like, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out from Dallas people on this thing. We'll give our reaction to it and some Texans angles, I think, that are significant with this Micah Parsons trade. We'll do that coming up next.